good morning and welcome to our gathered church service here this morning. Whether you've made it in person, and it's great to see a number here this morning, or you're watching online via our live stream. Isn't it good that we can be present in the building, but also online as well? So thank you for joining us as we celebrate our community together this morning. Now, if you have any prayer requests, specifically online, if you'd like to put them in the comments, then towards the end of the service, I'll kind of gather those all in. If you're in the building and you also got a phone and you can put them on the comments, why don't we try that? If not, we still haven't come up with an in-house solution. But maybe if you've got any ideas about how, if you've come this morning, you might be able to share a prayer request, then please do get in touch. Maybe you could bring it on a piece of paper or email me in the week. But welcome and thank you for joining us. Please join us for Zoom coffee and chat after our service. It's at 11:30. I think a number of us dash home from here and then go get on Zoom and have a cup of coffee. I saw a couple of faces last week who had been in the church. What a joy that you could come here this morning and then go home and see people on Zoom as well. If you've got young children, you can download some resources from our website that might help you keeping them a little bit amused during our service. This evening's prayer service will be focusing on the work of Generate, our local schools. Initiatives and Liz Jenkin will be leading us as we pray for that important ministry that happens throughout the south of Cambridge. Thanks also for all those church members who came and attended our church members meeting on Wednesday. It wasn't too weird, it was a bit weird. We had a few people in the building, a number online, and it was good just to learn together, to share a little bit, and hopefully understand a little bit about what's been going on and how as a leadership team we've been planning things and moving things on. So thank you for all those who attended. I also need to give notice of our AGM. What a joy, an AGM. It's happening, and I've blanked on the date. I think it's the 14th of November. 15th of November. So the plan is, if you've come in the morning, you can stay on in the building and we'll have our AGM, or you can log on via Zoom and we'll have that. AGMs traditionally sound really boring, but it's actually a celebration. It's looking at what we've been doing, giving thanks for all the good stuff and sharing stories. So it won't be boring. There's a bit of financials, but we need to make sure we're good stewards, but also there's an opportunity just to look back and celebrate what's been going on. Finally, All Saints Eve. If you remember last year, we had an amazing time behind Cara Coffee. We had an opportunity with, we had a ride the bull thing going on. There was a barbecue, there were games. We can't do that this year, but we're having a socially distanced All Saints Eve. And you can book in as a family or I think individuals. You can come along for a half an hour slot, do some crafts together. I think it's aimed at all age, so it's aimed at children and families. But if you want to get involved and help, please do speak to Diana. But you can book in via the website, come along, spend half an hour together, having a really positive community expression of All Saints Eve. Well, I'm going to pray and then hand over to Sarah and Lou, who are going to lead our worship this morning. Lord God, we thank you for the gathered church. And we thank you as we set aside time now to be present with you, to hear words of encouragement and to lift our, well, we can't lift our voices if we're in the building, but if we're at home, we could lift our voices and sing praises to the Creator God. Thank you that you're here with us and that you care for us individually. And Lord God, now as we worship you, I pray that you would speak to us, guide us, and change us. Amen.
Thank you.
well, please do be seated. Apologies online, we had a bit of a sound issue. I think we've resolved it now. Is that right, Toby? We don't know. We're having a few issues at the back with our sound. We're now going to join Clive and Diana, who are going to just share a little bit with us this morning. So over to Clive and Diana.
Good morning, everyone, and how are you all? I hope you're all well and that you've had a good week. Last week, if you remember, Clive was feeling a bit unwell because he ate all the cakes. How are you today, Clive? Are you better? And have you had a good week? You've got something amazing to tell us today. It's just incredible. You're amazed. What is it? What's happened? Is it anything to do with cake? It's more amazing than cake. Now that is something amazing in itself. What is it? It's the cabbage. Excuse me. Am I hearing this correctly? You think cabbage is more amazing than cake? Now, I really like cabbage, but to say it's more amazing than cake is really stretching things a bit far. Have I seen the cabbage? Clive, I've seen lots of cabbages. Have I seen this cabbage? Oh, you mean this cabbage? It is a huge cabbage. Do you want to see it? Show them. It's very heavy. My goodness me. Look at this cabbage. You grew it. Wow. You planted the seeds and then you watered them and looked after them as they grew. And this cabbage grew and grew. And now it's enormous. It certainly is. And it's really heavy. So I'm going to put it down. It's so amazing. That enormous cabbage grew from a tiny seed like this one. Show them. Like this one. It's not much bigger than a pinhead. How did something so big grow from something so small? It's just amazing. Well, Clive, that's one of the incredible things about how God causes things to grow. He created the world to be so full of amazing things. And one of those things is that giant plants sometimes grow from really tiny seeds. Perhaps some of you have grown big plants from small seeds. Perhaps some of you have grown really tall sunflowers or beanstalks. And Jesus used this amazing fact to illustrate how faith grows in the kingdom of heaven. He said that the kingdom of heaven is like a little seed, that when it is planted, it grows into something really big. And you know, sometimes we feel as though we only have a little bit of faith. Maybe our faith seems as small as this little seed. But if we plant it in good soil and take care of it, then our faith will grow too. And when it does, there is an abundant harvest that we can share with others. And so God's family grows too. That's amazing. Like the cabbage. You think we need to share the cabbage with others? I agree. I don't think we can eat it all in one go. That would give you a tummy ache. Like eating too much cake. I think you're right. So I think we'll cut this cabbage up and we'll share it with our neighbours. And we'll see you again next time. And we hope that in the week ahead, your faith will grow too, just like this cabbage did. But it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive, and we'll see you again next time. Goodbye.
Well, thank you, Diana, and thank you, Clive, for sharing with us this morning. If you have a Bible, if you brought it with you, or if you're at home, we're going to look at Matthew 7, just verses 7 and 8 this morning. And then after I've spoken, Liz is going to come up and share some Bible verses, and then Claire's going to lead us in a prayer as well. And Liz just got up, assuming that she was due on now, so I just need to say that so at the end. But if you have a Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, says this: "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open." Let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for scripture. I pray that you would reveal new truths to us this morning. And as we think about our own faith, our own walk with you, I pray that you would guide, comfort, and speak to us. Amen. Now, I wonder, has anyone ever jumped out of a plane in the building? No one in the building. I wonder if you're online and you've jumped out of a plane, you might put a little note up. There's about a 10-second delay, so we'll have to see if anyone puts up a thing about being a parachutist. If you have been a parachutist, I haven't been one either, but I think if you are, I think it's a big step of faith, isn't it, to put that bag on your back and to voluntarily throw yourself out of an aeroplane. I think that puts a lot of faith in the person who packs the bag, in the material that it's made of. I think that's a big deal. I think that's a big jump of faith. Now, let me just have a quick look on my phone to see if anyone has said they've done it. No, I don't think. No parachutists anywhere, it seems. There is a bit of a delay. But no one's jumped out of a plane here. But they're steps of faith, aren't they? Maybe you've been to the doctors or you've had surgery. At that point, you put your faith into someone else's hands. You put your faith that that person is who they say they are, they've trained in the way that's right, and that they will do what they've said they will do. Maybe you've put your faith in all sorts of different things. Maybe you put your faith in the government at this time, that they'll do what's best for us, and that the rules that they force us to do are for our best health. We'd put our faith in that. Maybe if you support football, you would say, well, I put my faith in that new striker the team spent millions of pounds on. They will be worth all that money, we might say. We all, in our lives, put faith in different places. In these troubling times, maybe you've put your faith in a cure. There will be a vaccine, we say. We will move on from that. That's a step of faith, because we don't know. We hope, but we don't know. Maybe you've put your faith in God in these challenging times. A number of people have for the first time or come back to God because the world around them has changed so much. And we look to God and say, God, you're still there, I hope. And we actually, this time has been a time of faith, putting our faith in God. But what do we mean by faith? What is faith all about? Now, the book of Hebrews offers us something, and it says, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. From that account, faith seems to be just out of sight because it's not seen. Just like the parachutist has to have faith that whoever packed their chute knew what they were doing, they can't 100% guarantee it. They don't know for definite. They'll only know for certain when you pull the cord and the parachute opens. And at that point, it's not faith anymore. It's reality, isn't it? You know the parachute's working and you will hopefully gently fall to the earth. That's no longer faith because you've pulled it and the chute's opened. Now, faith in the New Testament is everywhere. The word faith, the Greek word pistis, you need to be careful how you say that one, is found over 240 times in the New Testament. Faith is central to what Jesus was talking about. The words and actions were, faith was a key part to that. And when we talk about faith, when Jesus talked about faith, he talks about putting our trust in the saving work of Christ. That God in Jesus accomplished something and asked us, just like the person who with the chute on says, trust me, have faith in me. That's what Jesus asks of us. It requires us to give up on our own knowledge, our own efforts, and say, actually, we're going to place our trust in Christ. Just like the patient who trusts the doctor, we trust Christ that he, through his actions, will accomplish something or has accomplished something on the cross. Just like the patient has faith that that person doing the surgery, we have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, John 5, verse 24 says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. This faith leads us on to something. Now, we might read eternal life and traditionally say, well, that's just, we've got a place in heaven booked, a bit like you booked your seat here this morning. But actually, we know that by eternal life, we don't just mean off there in the clouds, we mean also down here on earth. It's life on earth that God promises us, life to the fullest. We are saved to have life in all its best now, not delaying it to book ourselves a little slot after we've died. So, how healthy is your faith? If we had a chart and a gauge, where would you say your faith is? Do you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world? I know many faces in here, I think I know everyone here, and they'd all probably say, yes, I do. Maybe if you're online and you're watching this and you don't have a faith, maybe you'd say, well, maybe, I'm not quite sure. Or even in this room, we'd say, well, maybe on a good day, but actually I have doubts, I struggle. Now, I don't know about you, but we've been watching a bit of telly during lockdown. Anyone else watch some telly? Yeah, there's a number of us. We've been getting through our box sets, and we rediscovered a program that I grew up with when I was a teenager, and it's called The X-Files. Anyone watch The X-Files? Sarah's watched that a few. Not so many in here. Maybe online you might have watched it. It's a generation thing. I think you've got to be kind of my generation and around, maybe. And The X-Files were a group of FBI agents, Mulder and Scully, and they go and they kind of explore the kind of different phenomenon, unexplained phenomena. It was all about aliens. And you have Mulder, who sort of puts his belief in things instantly. And then you have Scully, who's the rational one and questions everything and tries to find out what the science is behind it. You see, we all express our faith in different ways. Maybe you're full on, say, yes, I instantly believe. Or maybe you have doubts and questions and want to understand. All of us will approach it from a different point of view. But also into that becomes our personality as well. Maybe some of us are just very naturally trusting people. Maybe we'd say, well, I'd find it really easy to put my faith in God, and I find it really easy to have faith in other people. Maybe other of us actually are very skeptical of other people and really struggle to put our faith in others. We bring that to God as well. We bring that to our relationship with God, our own personal traits. That's very natural for us to do that. We also see, if we look at Jesus' ministry, that faith in Jesus' time was deeply connected to healing. We see it all the time. The woman who touched Jesus' garments was healed because of her faith. That's what healed her. We also see in Mark that faith has a wider sense. All things are possible to them who believe. We have a phrase also, a really challenging one, don't we? Faith as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain. However we're supposed to understand that, I don't think I get what that's about. But faith is interwoven in Jesus' ministry. But there's something about faith that's small and that also is narrow, I think. We can think of Jesus' statement about wide and narrow paths and gates, can't we? To help us understand that having faith in God is not easy or in your face. Rather, it seems small and often hard to find. Faith seems not to be meant to be easy, just like that person jumping out of a plane. It's not an easy thing to do, to put your faith in something else, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. No amount of evidence will ever really totally tip the balance, because it will always remain unseen. It doesn't matter how much scientific information you have out there, it will never tip the balance because it will always be unseen. It only will ever become seen when we inevitably pass from this world to the next. Unlike the woman who got healed through her faith, the majority of us have no concrete marker to hang our faith on. Rather, we're left hoping for a mustard seed and never seeing a mountain move. So we construct our faith, don't we? We construct our faith around Scripture, around the church, around our experiences, around hope. We knit it together and often place it in a box and say, that's my faith. When we struggle with difficulties, we return to that box, don't we? And we say, well, there's my faith, and it's a comfort, and it's an understanding. But what happens when that box stops making sense? And I think maybe over the last 6 months, some of our faith or our boxes of what we understand faith maybe has stopped making sense for many. What happens if our understanding of Scripture changes? What happens if we have to reevaluate things? What happens when the unexpected happens, or there's trials or tragedy? What happens when the faith that we prize no longer feels like it answers all the questions? I wonder if you've ever had an experience of that. Just life's changed and things have happened and you think, God, my faith, I'm struggling. Because we'll put it in this box and that box doesn't really fit anymore. Now, I've mentioned a few times I grew up in quite a conservative Baptist church. Maybe you've had a similar experience or a different experience. And one of the markers of our church was a literal belief in seven-day creationism. Maybe you believe that as well this morning. There was a guy, an American guy, who our church got very excited about. He's still around today. He's called Ken Ham. Talks about the literal truth in Genesis. That's what it is. I remember when I rocked up at Bible college and being astounded that I was the only one there who believed that. No one else believed it. And after a while, I guess I did a bit of reading and learnt and changed my understanding, not just on that issue, but actually Bible college as a way of deconstructing all sorts of issues and boxes that we put God in. But at that point, my faith was shaken because I thought, this is my God, this is God I believe in. I went somewhere and everyone was saying, what are you talking about? Is that really right? So over those years, my faith took a knock and it evolved and I grew and I actually changed multiple times, not just then, but since then. Because you see, faith is seeking and finding. But it's not static and seemingly it's not written in stone. It shifts. It's a paradigm, if you want to use that word. Our understanding keeps changing, and then when it doesn't make sense, we kind of shift into another understanding. Maybe that's something of your own journey as well. The things that used to make sense now don't. Now all our journeys are very different. I know some Americans whose faith just couldn't stand up to not believing in a literal understanding of Genesis. They just would rock their whole world. And they say, if I can't believe that, I can't believe anything else. I wonder what your faith looks like. I know some people, and I get to know lots of people as being the pastor here. I know some people who have a very simple faith and are really content saying, this is my faith, I believe this. I know other people who are really wanting to wrestle and really wrestle with things and trying to understand things and get confused and upset and angry. I know others who envy those who look like they have a strong faith, look like they have everything sorted. Maybe you're in one of those categories this morning. But I don't think seeking faith is like digging up the buried treasure on a map. I don't think we ever get there. I don't think it's X marks the spot, and if we just get everything right, we can dig down and we can receive this faith. I don't think it's like that. I think it's a bit more like, I guess a simple answer, a bit, I don't know, I'm not a bird watcher. Any bird watchers? Have parachute, any bird watchers? A few bird watchers. More bird watchers than parachutists in the building. I don't know about online. But if you're a bird watcher, I think you know what it's like to wait a long time for something and then maybe just catch a glimpse of it. I think that says more about our faith than thinking it's about digging up buried treasure. Always fleeting, never seem to get the full picture, but just a glimpse of things. But you have to be seeking, you have to be looking to find it. Claire and I, I'm not a bird watcher, Claire does. For me, most of them all look like blackbirds. They're all blackbirds to me. And until recently, I got a little bit more interested, and Claire spots them and I have a look. We were heading back from Thetford Forest a few weeks ago. We looked out on the left in the field, and it looked like there was a little deer. There's often deer in just outside Thetford Forest. But then we got a bit closer, and we thought, well, that doesn't quite look like a deer. And we were travelling 60 on the van, and it was quite hard to see, but we saw this fleeting image that didn't make sense, because it was a massive bird, like a huge bird. And it wasn't a deer, it was a massive bird. It had its talons dug in something. And it didn't really make sense. We Googled it, and actually in a little bit of seeking, a little bit of conversation, we found out it was a bearded vulture. This thing was huge, an 8-foot wingspan. They spend most of their times in the European Alps, 1,000 miles away. But this one's been spotted around Cambridgeshire over the last few weeks and months. And we saw it there, glimpsed it. I couldn't even say what it looked like. I just knew what it kind of was. That chance encounter, you could probably go looking for weeks and months and never see that bird. But because we were looking out the window, we saw a glimpse of something that was spectacular. If we hadn't been looking, we wouldn't have found. Are we able to look and get a glimpse of God in our lives? Glimpse of God working around us. Glimpses of God that speak into our very being, that change and transform us. You see, you have to be looking if you want to find. You have to be looking. Are we looking around us for God's work? My prayer for us as a church is that we are seeking God around us, trying to see a glimpse of God working, because that's ultimately what encourages our faith. That helps our understanding. Maybe we might see God working in our families, in our work, in our out in nature, wherever. Can we see something of God's work in our lives? To close our time together, we're going to have a little time of reflection. Liz is going to come up and read some passages that speak of faith. During these few moments, I hope it will be time just for you to contemplate and see what God is doing around us.
Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, will know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. For we live by faith, not by sight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Thank you, Liz. And now we're going to hand back to Sarah and Lou, who are going to draw our worship together. Thank you. Well, thank you, Sarah and Lou. Claire's going to come up and lead our time of prayer.
A prayer of praise, thanksgiving, sorrow, and petition. I give you praise, God of my journey, for the power of love, the discovery of friends, the truth of beauty, for the wonder of growth, the kindling of fidelity, the taste of transformation, for the miracle of life, the seed of my soul, the gift of becoming, for the taste of the little dyings which have strengthened me for this moment. For the mystery of the journey, the bends in the road, the pauses that refresh, for the faith that lies deep enough to permeate discouragement and anxiety. I give thanks to you, God of my journey, for all I have learned of the life of Jesus, of how to say goodbye, for those who have always stood near me and given me spiritual energy, for your strength on which I can lean, and your grace by which I can grow, for the desire to continue on, for believing that your power works through me, for being able to love so deeply, so tenderly, so truly, for feeling my poorness, my emptiness, my powerlessness, for believing that you will care for me in my vulnerability. I ask forgiveness, God of my journey, for holding on so tightly, for refusing to be open to new life, for fighting off the dying that is essential for growing, for insisting that I must be secure and serene, for ignoring your voice when you urged me to let go, for taking in all goodness, but being reluctant to share it, for doubting my inner beauty, for resisting the truth of my journey home to you. I beg assistance, God of my journey, to accept that all life is only on loan to me, to believe beyond this moment, to accept your courage when mine fails, to recognize the pilgrim part of my heart, to hold all of life in open hands, to treasure all that is gift and blessing, to look at the painful parts of my life and grow through them, to allow your love to embrace me on empty and lonely days, to receive the truth of your presence, to trust in the place of forever, forever hello.
Well, thank you, Claire, for reading that. I'd love just to pray for us, and then we'll draw our service to a close. Lord God, we thank you that there is truth in your word and truth in the power of your spirit. Lord God, I pray that you would guide us. I pray that through the honesty of our journey, others might see your truth. Amen. Well, do join us this evening for our Zoom prayer meeting. I've just an update on parachutists, if you want to know. So who's jumped out of a plane? Linda Ramsey jumped out of a plane. I wouldn't imagine that, would you? And Graham Briscoe as well has jumped out of a plane. And Liz says her three daughters have jumped out of a plane. All together? No, different times. Not all together. At different times. There we go. I think that's it. No one else has been jumping out of a plane. Let's say the grace to one another as well. If we're in the building, let's not stand up. Let's turn and look. If you're at home, maybe you say it to the person next to you. Let's say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless. Thank you for joining us, whether in the building or online.